Raised Rowdy.
All right, guys, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. I'm Nick T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And our special guest, Mr. Jake Worthington.
That's right.
Thank you for being here, brother.
You
too,
man.
Good
morning.
Always a blessing getting to see you, man. I remember some of our earliest times that we got to hang out, like down in Key West during Songwriters Fest.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
ball faced on shit street.
Yeah. I lost my wallet, my phone, my pride.
Been there, dude.
That's so
I've
funny.
Been knowing you boys for a long time. It's good to see you.
Yeah, dude.
You too, man.
All the way the world turns for a guy.
I know. It's always been a blessing to get to hear you sing, and that was one of those moments down in Key West where I remember just watching people walk in off the street and being like, what is going on in here? You know?
Yeah, well, that still happens every now and then.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell to think about it, but that's pretty cool insight to hear.
Yeah, man, it's been great just getting to watch your star rise and what we've seen forever, which is great traditional country music done the right way.
Well, I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Really get to get the spotlight shined on it. You know,
man, I think, I tell you what, I mean, obviously, y'all been in this town a long time. I've been knowing y'all since I've been coming up here a long time. And we have definitely seen the changes. Mm-hmm. And we ain't changed. Mm-hmm. But I've never been more inspired with all the music coming out. You know, it just seems more like what I dreamed of for so long.
Yeah.
Happy to see it.
Me too, man. And that's one of the things that I think, like, as country has been expanding as a genre, which, you know, we have such a big moment just in culture right now, the traditionalism is really, like, tuned back in, you know?
Well, it's just live music halls, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah, it starts with the songs. I don't know if it ain't going that way, I'm screwed, buddy.
Hell yeah.
Well, it sure is, man. And I think like the run that you've been on recently is kind of showing some proof of that. Man, I'll tell you this: when I first started seeing videos of "This Ain't the Whiskey" popping up on my page, I was like,
"Crazy,
it's coming!"
Yeah.
And then I'm like, "Oh, well, I always see Jake Worthington stuff," but then I saw how many other people were getting to see it too.
Buddy, I felt like they was playing a big old joke on me.
It's crazy.
I don't know what makes that kind of clock turn, but it really took off there. It was a lot of fun getting to see that too. Everybody that I work with was, I mean, we was all waiting for something like that to kind of happen one day. And it was a lot of fun. It was exciting. And there's a lot more music coming.
Yeah. Know? Full record coming out.
Right.
Oh, man, I'm excited for it. We got to preview it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I remember previewing your first record after the Luke show. When you were opening and we were all just huddled around your phone in that green room and we're drinking beers and you're like, man, this is country gold. And we're talking about Paul Franklin and all the greats that played on your first record.
Yeah. Yeah. And they was all there on the second one too. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'd hate to pass up an opportunity to get to work with any of them guys as long as they're still cutting records, just hoping I can learn something off of them and experience that, you know, to sit in a room and play songs that I wrote and sing them to them and then go in there and
crazy.
You know,
I know, it's like Brent Mason is like to me like the sound of 90s country, and he's bringing that sound to like your new record.
Yeah, Brent, man, he's the most recorded guitar player in the world.
Crazy.
Nobody like him. As Paul was on there, Brent,
mm-hmm.
Brian Sutton, Jerry Rowe played drums, and you know he's a rock guy and all, but that son of a bitch knows
so
country music.
100%.
You can't be Jerry Reed's, you know, grandson or Dave Rowe's son and not know what a shuffle is.
No doubt. He plays on Luke's records too.
Yeah, he's a bad mother.
So, yeah, Steve on bass, Steve Mackey on bass, Janae on fiddle.
On Luke's records.
Yeah.
That's killer, man.
Janae played on your stuff.
A few songs, yeah. The first record was primarily Larry Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
And then on this, he played fiddle on that first record. And then Gordon Moat played keys, and then Jimmy Lee Sloss was the bass man. But on the second record, there's a few sessions where, you know, timings and things just got the way it wound up working out. All them same cats was I got to work with on the second record, and then there was a few, you know, I got to work with Eddie Bears for the first time on a few songs, and Janae come in and played on a few songs. Dave Cohen come in and played piano on a few songs. And
Wrecking Crew, man.
Craig Boyd, I think. Craig Boyd. Bad motherfucker.
Hell yeah.
Bass man. And he's out there with Post Malone.
Yeah, yeah. He's a buddy of mine. Yeah, he's a photographer friend, kind
Craig Boyd, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Craig. Yeah, that's the crew, man. That's like the country crew. For sure, the best of the best playing on that new record.
I felt like a peon being around all them cats, man.
Man, anyone would, I feel like.
Yeah, damn right.
Yeah.
Damn right.
Well, man, it's you're definitely not. And I think when we're talking about the new wave, like the current wave of like what's happening in traditional country music, the country music that's going to be timeless and last forever, you were in that conversation of it, bro.
Well, I'm grateful.
Yeah.
For that.
And I know you've been grinding forever, you know, like doing.
And I ain't never going to stop.
But it's got to be cool to have that like wave of like the next level of like fans, more people singing along and just new markets. Cause, you know, of course you've been crushing in Texas for a long time, you know?
Well, I mean, truthfully, if the truth be told, Hoss, Texas is a hard son of a bitch to sell, you know? And, I think for a long time, everywhere you went, somebody told you ain't nobody gonna buy that kind of music. I thought differently, and now a whole lot of other folks think that too, you know.
Yeah.
And I think right now we're seeing what I like to call a renaissance of sorts for our music, and you know, my thoughts on it, man, is I'm tired of. Country music got not be the subgenre of its own sound, you know. By God, like let all this other horse shit be
subgenre.
A subgenre,
yeah.
You know, when it comes to what you can expect from me or what I want to do, is just country music.
Yeah.
I want it to sound like the band you're gonna go see. But I, you know, that's not to say none of that, nothing else. People are doing with different styles or vibrations or influences and all that's wrong. There ain't a wrong way to do any of it. I don't think it's not a fad for me, and I don't think it's a fad for a lot of people. It's just I guess a timing thing, and right now it's a pretty cool time for music in general.
I agree.
I think there's a lot of cool rock bands coming out. There's a lot of cool, you know, rap records coming out. It sounds like the stuff that I would have been bumping when I was a teenager, you know.
Yeah.
That old school stuff, you know.
I agree with that. That's for me too. I feel like we're in a nostalgia drip for me of like the music lane. Like even like you talking rap, like Big X the Plug, which is now like
That
country adjacent album.
Yeah, Texas boy.
Yeah. But it's, dude, that sounds like the rap music I fell in love with when I first started listening to rap music.
Yeah, man.
And the country music, like we talked about, like I think your version of country music is timeless country music. When you go back and listen to the history of country music, this is the kind of music they're going to talk about.
Well,
you know?
You know what? I can't make that. I appreciate that.
Of course. Yeah, I do it for you.
Yeah. I appreciate it, Hoss.
Yeah, really. Of course. And I mean, honestly, like me and Kurt, when we talk about music, we love all good music, right?
But totally.
The stuff that has the steel and fiddle and is like that traditional sound is the stuff that, honestly, that's what I love the most. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I love a little bit of everything, but.
Yeah, well, it's something you find in country music is melodic instrumentation. It ain't just pads or background noise or.
That shit, or whatever.
Yeah, man. Whatever. But you know, that don't turn me on.
Yeah.
That don't make me want to run through a brick wall. You know. I feel like I don't know, a lot of the music that I grew up hearing, what them pickers did was based off the melody of the song. Mm-hmm. And shit, you can read that in red, I'm sure, somewhere, you know.
Yeah. It's like the MO for bluegrass music. It's like just play the melody differently for your solos, kind of a thing.
Yeah, put your own part in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I, you know, it's they're all voices. You know, mm-hmm. if I could pick guitar like that, by God, you would never hear me talk or sing.
<You know? laughs> I remember that with like Zach Top, like when we first got to see him play and just the, like how he picks, you're just like, damn, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a hoss, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
And that's the real deal. It's just, you know, no different old Kurt over there. That's a picking son of a bitch, right? I
appreciate
there.
It, man. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm glad to see things like that. The cream rising like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's even cooler, I guess what I heard kind of growing up or just what I felt myself about, you know, what we hear from or heard from country music for so long or what we didn't hear for so long was just identity, you know. And I'll tell you who I think really – knocked the door down in terms of that was Morgan Wallen, man.
Yeah.
You know, that there ain't nobody sound like him.
Nope.
Nobody can replicate that. He brought his own identity to our genre, and that allowed guys like me to, you know what, stick it out there, do it, man. You know, stand on business.
Yeah.
With your music, and, you know, I digress, but I feel like we're getting identity back in music. You know, you ought to be able to turn on a record and, or not even turn the radio on and know, hey, that's that person singing, you know, by the first couple notes.
I totally agree.
It's like the most important thing, but also the most difficult thing, I feel like, in an artist's journey is to really find them, to sound like yourself, you know, find their own sound.
Yeah, well, especially when these young bucks come in and they got a whole bunch of people picking and prodding at them. You know, and, you know, that they ain't got no time under their own selves to figure that out on their own. I feel like my biggest blessing throughout my experience was I had a lot of time, and I still think in my head under the radar, you know. You shouldn't not be allowed to try things and to go into, you know, certain, you know, trails that you go down musically. Yeah, I guess eventually you wind up finding you along the way. I don't want to admit that we start out lost. I just don't know.
Everyone does, man.
Yeah.
It's like you start out copying your heroes, and then, you know, you emulate them, and then you innovate, and you combine this and that, and that's kind of where you find yourself. You can't just be born out of the womb with your own sound, never heard anything else.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like you are what you eat, man. It's totally influence.
Yeah.
I think there's a difference between imitation and influence.
100%.
You know, and at the end of the day, I think it boils down to the songs. And for me, where I felt like things started kind of, at least in my own head, making more sense or coming together was the songs that I was writing allotted me to sing it the way I wrote it. But that's just my journey with it. You know, other people don't have to write their own songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think creative expression comes in different ways, but in my head, it seems like the easiest way for an artist to really feel emotionally tied is when you are writing your story. You know,
it can be. It's an even better experience when somebody writes it for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Dean Dillon writes it for you. That's not bad.
Yeah, Dean Dillon wrote it for the whole world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's an even more amazing artifact of country music. That can be done in country music. You know, everybody gets the blues. Yeah. There ain't no damn way around it.
Totally.
You know, and I think it's a pretty amazing thing to witness or achieve somebody, you know, you might not ever even met the person, but reading them words on paper, you feel like they know you, or you know them, or you know that feeling. And as a singer, I believe you're supposed to evoke every little bit of that booger you can, you know, put the squeeze on it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really it. Like we talked, like you talked about, like the distinct voice, but it's how you express that sentiment in the vocal, right?
That's why you're doing it,
that's
right?
That's why you're doing it. And that's what makes it go from something you heard one time to something that you want to listen to over and over.
Sure.
And over,
right? Yeah.
That emotion, that expression, that can come, in my opinion, that comes from the melody and the vocal the most. But of course, all the instruments are there too, and that just elevates it and elevates it.
Absolutely.
But your vocal, from the first time I've heard it, has been distinct, and it's been you, right? Like, at least by the time I got to hear it, you know, like, you had it figured out, and it's so,
I ain't got nothing figured out, Nick.
Well, I know that, but if the best part about the greatest artists are that none of them really think they got it figured out, and they're all trying to move the needle and keep pushing forward, you know? But I think your study of great history of country music and the songs that I know that kind of inspired you are what's led you to having that extremely distinct voice, that songs that are relatable to other people, even when it's your story or if it's someone else's story, mm-hmm. right? But you convey it in a way where when people are 8 beers deep in Key West, they're walking off the street saying, who the hell is this? You know? And that's been there the whole time that I've known you.
Well,
you know?
Man, Hoss, I just appreciate y'all letting an old boy around all these
Of course,
years,
man. Well, I know, like, Nick grew up listening to country music, like, from his dad, and obviously you did. I grew up listening to, like, rock. So I didn't really get into country music till later. Like, I found bluegrass and found my way into the genre. What are some older stuff that people that haven't gotten into country music need to check out?
Well, I guess I'll just start with the ones that I started with, and that was Ray Price. Just go listen to that Nightlife record. That whole record's just incredible. George Jones and Merle Haggard. I think the most influential Merle Haggard record for me was Serving 190 Proof. I love that record. George Jones, I mean, I can't pick a favorite. One that I listened to a lot, though, was probably not his more popular one. It was during the 70s. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't doing too hot in all kinds of ways. But but it's, I want to say it's the wild and something in the wilderness walking something. I don't know. He's sitting on the front of an old Cadillac or an old Lincoln, and I'm really going to kick myself for not remembering the title of this record.
It's early and you flew in today.
Yeah.
We'll give you a pass.
We get up early.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, that's
got some homework to do.
Yeah. And George Jones is one of the, so my dad, of course, I grew up in the 90s, right, as a kid. So I'd hear all the 90s country. But mm-hmm. my dad, when he was listening on purpose to stuff, it was George Jones and it was Conway Twitty.
Yeah,
and
man.
And the Eagles, you know. The Eagles were rock then, but they were country, you know.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
So that's the stuff, like, when he was picking, and it wasn't just what was getting served up, you know, that's what he was picking, so.
You know, what's interesting, too, is all that music we heard when we were kids, when we didn't get a choice in the matter, they were all influenced by the people we're talking about, mm-hmm. and you heard it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think that's the homage. It ain't paid on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, it's something you shouldn't have to try to pay homage to nobody. It if you do, you do. If you don't, you don't. But
yeah.
I think it starts with the influence or the inspiration.
Yeah.
You know, so I would just say go give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
Go listen to it.
Well, and I think this record is a really good like representation not only of the country music genre and the lean back into what's happening now, which is coinciding with what greatly has happened in the past, but also just the people that you have on it. We talked about the musicians that are on it, but mm-hmm. why don't we talk about the collaborators that you had on a couple of the songs as well?
I do got to make a correction. It's Craig Young.
Craig Young, yes.
Not
okay.
Craig Boyd. Craig is going to kick my ass for that.
Well,
I love
you're
that
staying
guy.
Corrected. Yeah, Craig Young. Yeah,
Craig
yeah.
Young. Gosh. Anyways, sorry, Craig.
Collaborators Miranda, on the record.
Yeah. Miranda, Miranda Lambert sang on it, and May Estes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, those two of my favorite singers ever.
Absolutely agree.
You know.
Miranda is an absolute legend, just an icon in the industry, and just a great ambassador for country music.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
Great writer. Yeah. You know, great singer.
Absolutely.
Cool as fuck.
I mean, cuts outside of her, you know, on other people's songs. Just great writer. And then May is one of the finest traditional country music voices that we've seen in 15, 20 years at least.
I don't disagree, man. Yeah. I tell you what, that song May sang on, we cut it. And everybody kept saying, man, we want to, you know, Chuck and John, we want to, we think it needs a female voice on it. And it's a song called I Feel You. And, you know, I didn't hear, because the verses didn't ride out like I could hear two different people saying it to each other. But I thought, okay, well, I think it ought to be just a prominent harmony, and anywho, I went home to the hotel after that session, and I called my wife and I told her, hey, they're wanting a female singer on this song, what do you think about that? She goes, and I verbatim shit you not, this is what she said, well, you're about the music, ain't you, Mr. Music Man? And I thought, well, yeah, you know. And she goes, well, if you don't call May Estes, you're a dumb son of a bitch, you know. So I did. At 3 a.m, I called my Estes. I left her a voicemail, and she gave me a call back the next day.
I would love to hear that voicemail.
I'm sure I've left a few of them floating around out there.
Yeah, I've been there. Totally.
Yeah. I've done plenty of that
myself. It's just because I love you. If I leave you a voicemail like that, it's just because I love you.
Mm-hmm. I always tell my friends that. I was like, if I'm calling you at 2 a.m, I don't really want nothing. I'm just trying to see how you're doing.
Yeah, yeah, shit. I'll get on a damn rant over just music. I want to talk music. And
man, that's the way to do it.
It ain't. Well, I'm learning. It ain't the way to do it, Nick.
You got to have a lock on your phone. You got to do math or something.
Yeah,
to get into it. I've done plenty of that.
Oh. It's like you got to walk a straight line or something to unlock your phone.
Yeah,
impossible.
Yeah, you're like FaceTiming everybody.
We were chatting about this weekend, and Kurt's like, "Was that the night that you FaceTimed me?" I'm like, yeah, it might have been that night with FaceTime.
I'm like in bed, like at 9:30. I'm like reading a book. Nick's like, "We're in Texas, drunk somewhere. I don't know where you all were at."
Happens.
Yeah, Lubbock somewhere.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Like, "What up, Kurt?" I'm like, "How do you do?"
Yeah, I don't really let loose as much as I used to. You know, I'm trying to get better about it, but sometimes
you gotta let it out. Gotta let the cat out of the bag.
It's better outside of town than in town. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Well, that and then Marty Stewart, too, right?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Gosh, what an idiot I am. Marty, man. See, I got to write with Marty all because of Jenna LeMaster.
God bless you, Jenna.
I know. I think she's one of the most talented writers, singers, people in this world.
I agree.
And she had just got I signed over there at Sheltered where Marty works, and man, she got the Marty right, and she invited me to her first write with Marty, and I thought, wow, I'll be there. And we wrote I'm the One that day, and so many amazing things have happened since that write. I mean, I would have never, you know, it wouldn't have happened the way it did, I don't think. Marty invited me to play the Ryman that day. And then, of course, at the Ryman, he invited me to do the Opry. Well, for me, you know, that's just about as good as it gets. You know, I don't think I ever dreamed of working any other rooms, really, aside from the Houston Rodeo, you know, or Pasadena Rodeo. I mean, It's cultural architecture, man. It's part of my raising, so it meant the world to get to do that. And I all these years I come to town, I never stepped foot in them. I never went and watched a show or nothing. My papa wrote songs in the 70s and 80s, and he would come up here to write and try to get cuts or whatever. And anywho, one of them days I was walking the streets and on the phone with him, and he had mentioned something about the opera or what have you, and I asked him if he had ever been, and he had said no. He said, all these years I've had them opportunities and this never went. And I said, okay, well, then I ain't gonna go neither, and we'll go together. Well, he had passed away shortly before that Ryman show, and let alone, or you know, who'd have known I was gonna get to do it pretty shortly after. So that was a pretty big deal for me and my family, you know, it felt good to get that done.
Yeah, he was there with you in spirit.
Damn
sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, man.
Shining on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that, too. Yeah, Marty's one of those guys that just seems like he's one of the best humans on the planet.
Oh.
And he's always so cool looking.
Yeah.
Hey, and he knows it.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, Marty Stewart knows it, buddy.
You know, I'm a huge fan of Marty, but it's like, I also am a huge fan of that Telecaster, and I want to play it at least one time. He's got the Clarence White Telecaster. It's like the first B Bender. The guitarist is as famous in the guitar world as Marty is as an artist. That's crazy.
Yeah, man. You ain't wrong, Hoss. Yeah. I tell you, when we recorded I'm the One, they stuck me in the same, it was a vocal booth, right? Small little room at Blackbird, and Marty had a little, it had to have been like a 60s deluxe reverb, something like that in there. And he had the Clarence White, and they've stuck me in the booth with him, so he's got that sumbitch cranked, and I got, you know, I could feel the air off the amp at my feet, you know. For me, it
through the jeans.
I was tickled pink over that. I thought that was just the coolest thing. He let me hold it, you know. And I'll tell you another nutty thing about that session was, he had brought a couple guitars, you know. One of them had this, it was old Martin. I can't remember what kind, it was like the D45. It was 1939. It's really nice Martin Dreadnought guitar, a big one. And it had a pearl bow tie inlay on the front of the body, and or on the top of the guitar, I should say. And it had said cash in it, and you know, he strummed a big old fat E chord on that thing. It's just like, gosh, that's something else, you know. Well, come to find out, that guitar's name is Hank, and Wyatt McCubbin was telling me the story, because he writes with Marty quite a bit, and Wyatt's one of my oldest friends.
That's so good.
And he sends me a picture every now and then if he's writing with Marty, and Marty will give him a cool guitar to play, right? He'll bring Merle Haggard's guitar in, or Jimmy Rogers' guitar.
What? You know?
Like, yeah, the craziest thing ever, right? So he'll send me pictures, and we'll talk about it for about an hour. Just go, oh my God! And he'll sneak little voice memos of just picking on it so I can hear it, you know. Anywho, that guitar Audrey bought for Hank Williams Sr. And it was a guitar that sat in his house, and you know, there's not a known picture of Hank with it, but it was his guitar that, if I'm recalling the story correct, Bo Cephas gave that guitar to Cash. Well, fast forward, Marty has had a Merle Kilgore guitar. Well, Cash was a big Merle Kilgore fan. Well, when Merle Kilgore died, Cash knew Marty had that guitar, so he called Marty. He's like, hey, what do you want for that Merle Kilgore guitar? And Marty said, oh, I don't know. How about Hank? And he said, he just hung the phone up.
Ha!
You know, and he said about an hour later, he said Cash called him back and said, all right, I'll give you $100 and I'll throw in June with it.
Bro, I think you need a podcast. Yeah. You don't need us, dude.
Eventually, so anyways, the reason why that bow tie used to say Hank, well, that sucker fell out, and of course Cash put his own name in it. Mm-hmm. But that's how Marty got that guitar. And yeah. I'm not sure if that was like a secret, sacred story or not. I'm sure Marty would be smiling about
it. Yeah.
But see, I love stuff like that. But he had that guitar in that session. And
there's also, if anyone has $75,000 laying around, at Carter's right now, which is a guitar store in Nashville, there is a D28 for sale that Doc used to own, I guess, that played it on some records.
Wow.
And I'm like, dude, I can go buy Doc Watson's guitar. It wasn't like his main guitar because he played a Gallagher mainly, but it was one of his. But I'm like,
that's important.
Yeah.
And he's played on it, right?
Yeah, it's on. It's confirmed that it's on a couple of his records.
Wow.
Crazy.
I'm like,
Yeah, and it don't need to be sitting behind a glass case.
No, someone will play it. I'm sure someone will get it.
I mean, that Carter's, is it that Carter's mm-hmm. you said?
I texted it to Luke. I'm like, hey, bud.
Boy, howdy. Yeah. No kidding. One day.
Well, the history of country music is one of the things that makes it great. You know, it's steeped in tradition, you know, both sonically as well as, you know, just all of the great stories that have happened in this genre are wild.
There's some haggard stories too, like crazy ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, some great ones.
Yeah, that's how it goes. That's part of it. But
and I hope to leave a few myself.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, man, it's the needle in the thread, you know, it's something we can all relate to.
Yeah.
Country music.
So we got the announced date for the record. By this time, this will be like release week for the record. How about a couple other songs off the record that like have just really meant a lot to you?
You know, somebody asked me this last week, and I gave the shittiest answer.
Well, give a good one now.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Redemption.
I've been thinking about it. I feel like, truthfully, the process of, at least for me, getting to that point to record, mm-hmm. you know, I done weeded out as much as I could, and I wouldn't have cut it if I didn't love it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I have to honestly say all of them.
Yeah.
But there's one of them on there that I think might sneak through the cracks there in a good way. It's called I Still Believe in Miracles.
Yeah.
I think that one might be my favorite.
I could tell you, listening to the record, that one stuck out to me too, and honestly, it had me like tearing up a little, which as I get older, I enjoy a little bit of that mm-hmm. more and more and more.
Totally.
You know,
that's what it's supposed to do, man. I mean, don't get me wrong. We didn't go sit there and go, hey, let's make somebody cry. But mm-hmm. That's what country music can do. That's what it done for me. The whole mm-hmm. reason we wrote the song, you know, I've not lived the most. I wouldn't do everything I've done, you know. If I'm being honest, just about how I've lived. But I had friends and just people kind of wonder if I believed in God and stuff like that. And I do. I think that there's things on earth that you can't explain. That's the only explanation. And, you know, that's where I'm at with that. But we was out there in Oklahoma, and Robert Arthur, I'd wrote a bunch of songs with Robert and Roger Springer, and, you know, they're like family to me, you know. Anywho, Roger went to bed, and it was late, and I was up drinking, and we were just sitting in the living room watching, thumbing through YouTube videos, just going down wormholes of live music and whatnot, and Robert's sitting over there just thumbing away, rocking, and he just come out and said, Man, Jake, I got this idea I want to show you. I just wasn't sure you was going to like it because, you know, I didn't want it to be too preachy or something like that. And I said, well, that's horseshit, you know. T- what is it? And he just had that. I still believe in miracles, and I thought, oh my God, you know, I said, don't ever not show me something, you know, and we wrote that song about halfway, and I remember Roger coming over the upstairs banister and looking down at us, and we played him half of it, and he was like, oh, we'll finish that in the morning, you know,
yeah,
and we did, and it was kind of one of the things that sometimes you write things into existence, good or bad. I didn't know the girl I was writing about, but I do now.
Yeah.
You know.
Man, that's powerful. I've been going through some religious journey myself, like just things happening that feel like God has been shining on me in other ways, things feeling like I'm being tested, and it's honestly really like brought me back to faith, and I've been like going back to church a little bit and trying to find the right one for me. Coincidences are not coincidences all the time. You know, you feel like there is some grander plan to it. And I think that's an important part of life.
You damn right.
Yeah.
And recognizing that is one of them.
Yep.
I don't think you're wrong, Nick.
Yeah. Well said, bud.
Yeah.
That being said, I found Jesus on a bar stool a few times myself, you know.
Plenty of times for me. I mean,
Wolf Pit is writing that in the morning.
Yeah. No, that's... yeah. Man, you got to live life.
Put that in hard, yeah. Heavy pencil.
That's yeah. Right. That's right.
Got to live life, right? And same thing with me, man. I mean, no one's perfect as a person, right? And there's always things you'll look back on and say... maybe I shouldn't have had that 17th beer, you know?
Like, right.
I kind of did that this weekend a little bit. But at the end of the day, man, it's about being a good person and being inspired. And really, it's about pushing forward, you know?
Yeah, man. Can't lay down and die.
That's it. That's the whole thing, man. All right. Well, what do you got going on the road that we can talk about?
We are very excited to share. We're going to go out there. With John Party and my brother Zach Top,
yeah,
to end the year out.
Man, that's great.
A lot of country music on that stage.
A lot of country music.
Yeah,
on that
buddy,
stage.
Party's yeah. band is, whoo,
they're great.
Man,
three steel guitar players on three bands. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah,
that's a tour.
We're
right
back,
there.
Baby.
Yeah, yeah, buddy.
Yeah,
yeah. Come on. Yeah. I mean, man, I know I've sat at a bar with you talking about. Gosh, you know, when is that going to happen?
Mm-hmm. And here it is.
It's here. It's here. Yeah. So I'm pretty excited. And we're going to get back to Texas with Party on a lot of them dates, which I'm really excited for. We'll be down in Beaumont on my daughter's birthday. It's the 24th of October. And I'm, you know, I got some family down. I grew up going to Beaumont quite a bit. As a kid, my aunt lives out there, my Aunt Tammy, and it'd be good to see them. And just get back into Texas, you know, we haven't been there a whole lot this year. We'll come in and play a few, but it'll be good to be back there, especially with, you know, I feel grateful to get to go share a stage with these guys, artists that I revere their work and you know, grateful for the opportunity.
Yeah.
And we're going to go out there and put a squeeze on them.
Yeah. I love that attitude.
That is 100% the crew to do it with, too.
Yeah, you know? Man. Yeah.
I mean, some of my favorite records, Party's first two records, were both like zero skips for me.
Totally.
You know, just country music gold.
Yeah, and, you know, I even like that, you know, because he's like a pretty damn good guitar player. I remember kind of discovering him because of that, and it was like some kind of funky, I don't know what to call it. It was like California-driven stuff, you know, but it was real funky, and I always liked that stuff. I mean, he's always had. I remember when She Ain't In It, when he cut that song. That's a later song, but I remember, you know, going down there on Music Row and getting around all your writing buddies, and you go, well, check this out, boy, it's back, you know, little things like that. I always celebrated just to hear a song like that get cut on, you know, in a time like it was motivation. It was just enough light at the tunnel.
Tide is a turning.
Yeah, just stuff like that happening makes you, it's just little things like that make a young man want to keep going.
Yeah.
You know.
I love that. Anything that you feel from record one to record two that, like, you on purpose did to kind of, like, move the needle or...
Sonics.
Yeah.
I think sonically I'm closer to where I want to be. You know.
Maybe, I mean, obviously you're working with Joey Moy, who's legendary. How many trillions of records has that guy sold?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But it maybe even took Joey a record to kind of, you know, like kind of zero in on your sound a little bit, or?
Well, we did the first one together, and he tracked, I think it was 10 songs or 9 songs. I think there's 14, or there's 13. Is there 13 or 14 on the record?
Let's just say 13 and a half.
Yeah. Well, so he and I tracked, you know, the songs where, I guess what I mean by that is just went in and sang the songs with the band, and so we got the music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and during that process, there was just changes that made, and... I'm grateful that the label, that he allowed me to keep making a record with Big Loud, and Chuck Ainley got involved on the mixing. I started working with him on just vocals, and then that turned into, hey, will you finish the record with me? And then, of course, we signed, you know, with Big Loud Texas,
mm-hmm.
John Randall.
Yep.
And I've known John for a long time, I'm proud to say. You know, he's let me come in and sit in his writing room, which I was always grateful for that. So it was really cool to tie off the end of the record. We tracked 4 songs with Chuck and John Randall.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I wrote the song, My Home's in Oklahoma, I Feel You, and boy howdy.
Kick on 2?
No, let me see that list there, Hoss.
I got the Wi-Fi. I'm sorry I haven't given it to you guys.
No. Hell, I don't see the songs. But anyways, there's 4 songs on there that we tracked together. With the band, to the vocal, to the mix, mm-hmm. all the way through. And Chuck wound up ultimately getting a hold of the mix, but man, there's musical choices. I think it's kind of interesting that there's a couple different, you know, producers on the project, just by the way it turned out. You can tell what's a Joey Moy production musically, and you could tell what's a John Randall and Chuck Ainley production, and they're both, I love them both,
mm-hmm.
you know, but again, I think the biggest thing for me was just sonically where I wanted things to kind of wind up sitting.
Yeah.
It wound up working out.
I love that too. And honestly too, like the music is super catchy. Like It Ain't the Whiskey, and honestly the way you guys shot that content was so cool and just like fun.
It was fun.
It's
the first time I did something like that where it was just cutting up. You know, I had Roger showed up and my wife was there. Management was there, and it wasn't a whole much of, you know, of us acting.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, we just cutting up, man. Me and my wife got a little tipsy out there and just started having fun.
Yeah.
You know, and it's true to the story. That's how it got wrote. And that's what we put on the internet. So that was a lot of fun. I'm glad folks, you know, I've always kind of, I like to cut up and have fun. Y'all know me.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that. But as far as just, you know, what we presented online, I never really did show too much of that funny stuff until then. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad folks related to it.
There used to be a lot more, I feel like, humor in country music, you know?
For sure. Yeah.
Pickup Man and just like kind of fun, you know, stuff like that.
It comes in waves, right? Yeah. Like all that Brad Paisley stuff even, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. like his music videos.
Oh, yeah, they're hilarious.
So much fun. Yeah.
Hey, dude, we was out there with Brad a couple weekends ago, and he, that first night, you know, I hadn't even met Brad yet, and he said, hey, or he sent his tour manager to our room and asked if I'd sing I'm Still a Guy, and I thought, hell yeah, I'll do that, you know. So that was a lot of fun.
Great song, and just, I always say this, I'm like, make country music fun again. You know, the sad songs, I love too, but man, there's just something about, like, that, like, Pickup Man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, for
that
sure.
Just silly humor, and, like, even the, like, Fireman. Yeah, they call me the Fireman. Yeah. You know? Like, yeah,
a little more lighthearted.
Just, yeah. Maybe not all the time, but sprinkle that in there, yeah. You know?
There's room for all of it.
Yeah.
You know?
And especially when it comes out in a way like yours does, where it sounds country as cornbread. You know what I mean? It sounds like straight country gold. I think it's so great. And it's been done well, you know, throughout history, and it's great to see that come back. Where when I saw you pop up on my For You page, and it was like you smiling in the freaking mirror, I'm like, oh man, this is it. I love it.
Hell yeah.
I'm glad y'all liked it, man. I appreciate, you know, again, I've been knowing you boys for a long time. Y'all been knowing me, and it feels good to get something out there that you know,
yeah,
lights a little fire.
It was a needle.
I appreciate y'all helping share it, you know.
Oh, brother. Totally. We are 100% in on that. When we see stuff we love, that's what we do. So
as it should be, right?
Yeah, that's it. Well, man, thanks so much for taking the time to sit down with us. I know you're a busy boy when you are in town, so just thankful to you and the team for bringing you out here to the Old Hickory for us.
Yeah, man. Good to see you. Yeah.
Likewise. Next time we ought to do some fishing.
Let's do it.
Hey, I'm down.
Or drinking.
Yeah.
Maybe some of those.
I'm down for both.
Stuff.
They go hand in hand.
No doubt.
Well, guys, I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we'll see you in the front row.